This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Soccer Matters.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid, gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Uribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screens. That's where the Houston Liverpool Supporters Club hangs out. Big hello to everybody out of Hugh O'Connor's, including our good friend Peter Kingston. Remember, hit me up on Instagram, Glenn Davis Soccer, on Twitter, Glenn Davis Soccer. Okay, so Dynamo Insider, at Dynamo Insider. Official leak of the Houston Dynamo 2021 home jersey. Tell me what you think of it. 713-780-3776. Supposed to come out along with the Dash jersey on Thursdays, and we all know how excited people get around team jerseys. So what do you think of it, Houston Dynamo fans? You can see it online at Twitter. Some of you, I'm sure, have already seen it. Let us know what you think. Let's see. Dynamo Insider says, good, simple design. Very excited for the customization patches. Party of Helicopters fan account. Still can't believe anyone thought it was a good idea to drop the sky blue for silver. Little Bert, in response to Greatest Rock intros, he goes with the Smiths, this charming man. Very nice. Smiths fan. Gotta love that. 713-780-3776. So give us a shout what you think of the new Dynamo jersey. More importantly, what you think of the Dynamo roster right now heading into the season. Two training sessions under the belt for Tab Ramos and company. Tab will be coming up in the next segment. After that, it will be Christian Ramirez. Again, a huge thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, just got to call the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm will take care of you. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. They'll get you the representation you need and what you deserve. You do it through the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. And they are the presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters, both here in Houston and in Austin. So the Austin show is going on about a year. And it's interesting to see what's going on in both markets here. And, hey, soccer talk on the radio. Love it. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. There's a Manchester Derby this weekend. But before that, Manchester United has to play Crystal Palace tomorrow. Edinson Cavani has traveled with the team to Palace. So that's some good news for Manchester United fans. But some bragging rights in the city of Manchester this weekend. Despite the fact that the Premier League is done, Manchester City 15 points ahead of second place Manchester United. All right, so before we get to Tab Ramos and company and Christian Ramirez, just again a look at the roster here. Marco Maric, Michael Nelson in gold. Four goalkeepers for the Dynamo. Zarek Valentin, Jose Bizama at right back. Zarek, stable, dependable, does a lot of supporting, you know, who's ever in front of him, and he's working with in tandem on that right side of the field. Supports from behind. He got a lot of assists getting a ball back and then getting delivery in unpressured. Jose Bizama is expected to be a little bit more of, you know, the guy that penetrates and brings a bit more when it comes to getting behind people down that side of the field. Tim Parker, Most defining signing in the offseason, no question, 713-780-3776. Tim Parker's the most defining signing because it addresses huge area of need. The Dynamo got hit a lot in transition. If you remember the last game against Colorado, it happened. Now, the question is, who's Tim Parker going to partner? And right now, I think it's pretty clear. I would say at this moment, it's Minor Figueroa unless Alejandro Fuenmayor beats out Minor in preseason. Eric McHugh has been sent to Charleston Battery. He's not ready for MLS yet. Ethan Bartlow, out of the University of Washington, draft choice, highly ranked. Dynamo did well in the draft this year. Got good feet. Apparently, Tab Ramos has talked about him on this show. Left back is interesting. Adam Lundqvist. He's the incumbent. He's the guy that has to be knocked off. Sam Junkwa, who had interesting moments for the Dynamo last year as an outside back and then also in midfield, but he added a little bit of an edge, and I think he showed people at the end of last year when the times were tough that he wants to be a part of this. So I think for Sam Junkwa, it's, you know, how do you break through now? You got the taste last year. How do you break through? Ian Hoffman is another X factor. A big fan of his is Tab Ramos. He played down at RGV in the left back position. Go into midfield. Matias Vera, Darwin Seren, pretty much incumbents. But now you've got Joe Corona, Marcelo Palomino, you mentioned there too, still limited time in MLS, has a lot to prove. Boniac Garcia, the veteran, who's probably going to have a job of coming in and helping manage games out, maybe the occasional start. But the big X factor might just be Derek Jones, who was in Nashville. The Dynamo got him via some good business in the draft and a trade. Derek Jones could be an X factor. Big, physical, guy to keep an eye on. Darwin Quintero, Memo Rodriguez, who's going to be the playmaker. And then you got Lassiter, Pascher, Arruti, Ramirez, Bahamic, Pico, Nico Hansen up front. So you got stockpile of wide guys. So it's going to really be interesting. I think for those of us who do the deep dive on the Dynamo, and we want more of those types of fans, for those who do the deep dive, this is a much more interesting roster, and it's Tab Ramos's roster. So we'll get into that with him tonight. Pepe says about the Dynamo jersey, it's too plain. The patches should help with that. I like clean, though. Clean look is always nice. You can't go wrong with a clean look. Does anybody in MLS have a sash? I know the Galaxy used to. Remember the legendary Peru jerseys with the sash across the body? Pretty good. All right, we'll take a break here. We're going to come back with Houston Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos. Break brought to you by John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are bilingual. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Houston Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos is up next.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Tonight, we continue on. We switch gears here to the Houston Dynamo. And, of course, the Dynamo in 2021 started practice this week. This is all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, and they are bringing you this interview with Tab Ramos. Tab, thank you very much for coming on the program, as always.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
All right, so I would assume it's probably a big relief just to be back on the fields and out in the open air and finally assembling the team that you've put together here.
Yeah, it's been a really long off season. You know, obviously we got used to it a little bit last year with, you know, all the protocols we have to follow for the league and to get back to playing. It has not been the last, the easiest year and a half, you know, since I've been here. There's been a lot of actually, you know, times where we've had to just wait to get back on the field. So we're really excited to get back on. We're really excited about the changes that we've made this year. And I think as we sit here this moment, we feel good about, you know, who we are on and off the field.
Houston Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos joining us here. So I would imagine the energy is off the charts right now from the players, especially with the 7 new changes and some differing faces coming in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have to try to manage that because players are really excited, and we don't, you know, we want to make sure that physically we get them to the right place at the right time. And so, that's a little bit of a challenge, but that's what you want. You know, in the end, what you want is players to come in and want to play more and more and more, and for you to have to limit their moments on the field rather than trying to push them to do more. So I really do feel like this team is different. This team wants more, and this team can't wait to go to work every day, and we're really happy about that.
Do you find it different than in the years that you played when it comes to athletes coming in fitter, or maybe the modern player being a little bit more prepared for a preseason?
Well, I mean, the thing is, when I played, you know, because I was on the national team basically at the same time, I didn't really have time off. You know, unless I was injured, there was no time. And if I happened to have time off, it would be 4 weeks in the summer. You know, you finish your league, let's say in Spain or whatever, middle of June, you know, by the second week of July, you're already in preseason. So you'd have a couple of weeks off, and then, you know, you tried, you know, if you're getting married, that's the time you have to get married. You know, everybody got married like first week of July, and that's it. You know, like there's no time now. You know, MLS, obviously, and MLS Players Association, they have all these rules, and you know, our players haven't played a competitive match since November 7th or 8th. I mean, think about that. That's almost like tearing your ACL every year. That's how long you're off. I mean, it's really not great. I'll be honest with you. It's not great for the players to be off for that long.
So this is tricky. They've been off a long time. You only have 46 days. That's assuming we have an April 17th opener to get them ready. You got to be careful nobody gets injured out of the blocks with the long layoff and the energy and excitement of coming back. So you also do have some urgency, though, to be prepared, because those are big, valuable points early in the year you can stockpile.
And that's the thing. You know, I always, and you've heard me say this a couple of times, you know, we can plan for the future all we want, but the bottom line is we got to win this weekend. Whenever this weekend is, we have to win that weekend. And so we don't have the luxury where we are at this club at this particular moment to say, hey, you know, we're gonna build it in and slowly. And you know what? 6 months from now, we're going to be okay. Unfortunately, I think because we brought a lot of players, it will take a little time for us to gel. But at the same time, you know, we have to get off the gate fast. We have no choice.
Tab Ramos joining us here, head coach of the Houston Dynamo. How many questions, you know, in your mind are going to be answered during preseason? Because you got a number of different guys in here. There's a tremendous amount more of competition. I heard you and general manager Matt Jordan on the call. I see you putting it in the players' breadbasket to make things happen. I mean, you're making them accountable. So is this a time where you're going to learn a lot from these guys in preseason, and it may answer some questions that you have, because obviously we got to get into a season too?
I think a lot, you know, and it's a great question. And I think a lot will get answered through the preseason, because if there's one thing we've done this year is we've made every position more competitive. And so guys will be fighting for position. At the end of the day, you know, obviously our job as coaches here, and mine in particular, is to make the final decision as who gets on the field. But I think a lot of those answers will be given on the field in training. And I think the players know that's what we're about, and that they're going to have to earn their time.
Tab Ramos joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. All right, Darwin, the leading goal scorer, I think he had 9 last year. is there any rule that says you got to have a 15 goal scorer this year? Or is it, hey, we got to compliment Darwin?
The only rule that we're going to go by this year is that at the end of the game, we want to have one more goal than the other team. Other than that, you know, the rest of me is all numbers that don't really matter all that much. Yeah, of course you can go into, you know, all the analytics of every game and all those things. But in the end, we just want to have one more goal than the other team when the whistle blows.
Do you worry that the data and statistics sometimes is a bit overblown? Because I know they're an added thing in a coach's repertoire. I know you guys do a lot of data work and analysis, physical things that never occurred, certainly when I played, and I'm sure not as much when you played. How much of that do you take? And then how much of it really is now about the naked eye for you?
Well, you know, in this, I guess maybe my age will be reflected a little bit in my answer. You know, analytics are incredibly important. And in particular, you know, when you're scouting teams, you can use that information. When you're looking at profiles of players that you'd like to bring into your club, you know, analytics are incredibly important. But also, we have to take that with a grain of salt. You can sometimes make numbers look however you want to make them look. You can analyze areas that you want to analyze. You can see in players. You can make a player look positive or negative depending on what numbers you're analyzing at what time. And so, you know, numbers are important. They're helping. But the most important thing is the experience that we have on the roster to recognize what's wrong with our team and what's good about other teams.
Yeah, that's a great answer right there. Todd Ramos joining us. How about Martin Vazquez, the staff and everything? How up for it are they? And then maybe you can let the listeners know, obviously Martin has tremendous experience as a player and as a coach, and what he's going to add to your staff and maybe what some of his specific duties will be for you.
Yeah, you know, Martin has a wealth of experience. You know, he makes us better every day. You know, he's already, you know, always thinking out of the box and trying to seeing how we can make the team better from a training standpoint to make us better on the field. You know, he's analyzed all our players, he's analyzed our team. And I think, you know, right off the get go, he makes our staff better and he makes Omid and I better.
That's Martin Vazquez joining Todd Ramos' staff. And how did that come about? Because that's a great get for you. I mean, obviously you had Pablo Mastroeni last year, who was also a good get. Now you replace him with somebody with equal stature or even maybe more stature in the coaching game to some degree in Martin. How did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, I called, to be honest, I just called Martin myself. You know, Martin and I have known each other for years. I didn't think he would be able to come, to be honest. And I was really not surprised, but I'm really happy and honored that he was willing to go on this journey with us. And I think we're very fortunate to have him here, and I think we have a great staff.
Not to be redundant, and I know some of these questions may be a little bit, but we might have a little different audience listening here tonight as opposed to not being able to hear the press conference. Just talk about where you look at the roster right now. You seem very content with it. What potentially could happen if any other moves could happen, and then where the designated player slot sits right now.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, we've made the changes that we've made. I think we've improved our roster. You know, as I mentioned to a couple of people just yesterday, you know, we went into a difficult season last year knowing that a couple of players maybe were thinking about getting transferred somewhere else, and maybe their thoughts weren't 100% here all the time. And I think this year we have players who want to be here and succeed here and stay here. And I think that's huge. That's already a great start. I mean, could we be adding other players between now and the beginning of the season? You just never know. I mean, because, you know, there could be trades made, there could be players bought, there could be players sold, there could be interest from other teams on players that we have. I mean, you never know what can happen. So the door is open to many things, but at the moment, we're not just being, proactive in terms of trying to bring other players.
Todd Ramos joining us here. You addressed yesterday the fact you're doing preseason in Texas. I mean, this obviously makes a lot of sense with COVID and new players coming in. Why would you want to pick up and go somewhere else? You must feel pretty good about that, just staying content here, focusing on a preseason schedule, and just getting to do your work every day.
Yeah, I mean, as I said yesterday, we're staying in the country of Texas. And
I thought I saw that. I didn't know if that was a typo or what. That was pretty good.
We are staying in the country of Texas. There's plenty of room here. There's plenty of MLS teams here and other competition we can find. We're very lucky. And, you know, I have to say, you know, in this environment, in all seriousness, it's really good for our players to be able to do their preseason at home so that we're not away for, you know, 5-6 weeks and they don't have to worry about their families because they're with their families every day. So I think it's a great place to do it. And Texas provides the great weather to help us with that. So we're happy to be home.
Dab, last one before we let you go. And again, thank you very much as always. Just, you know, with 46 days or whatever it is I calculated here to April 17th, you know, maybe give the listener just a little generality in, you know, kind of the phases of building up to that moment where the season begins. And you know, this is challenging because you got real key decisions to make here. You know, knowing how hard to push these guys, and you've been through this so many times before, but there is a bit of a science behind it because you do have to be careful here.
Yeah, I mean, we have to, you know, over the last couple of weeks, what we try to do is combine the periodization, the physical periodization with our technical and tactical periodization. I know I don't want to make it sound like I'm actually smart at this stuff.
Good rhetoric can make people sound smarter. I try to drop a couple words in once in a while.
No, but this is the reality of the world we live in. You know, our physical periodization requires for us to manage a certain amount of workload every week. And we have to be able to combine that with the tactical understandings that the players have, the players who are already here, the players who are new and coming in, and how do we start to show them what we do? How do we start to improve on what we did last year tactically and technically? And so we have to combine both at the, you know, and as you combine those two periodizations, you hope that with about 2 weeks to go in preseason, that you feel like you're at a good moment for your players to be doing, at least your top players to be doing 90 minutes and 90 minutes and 90 minutes, and to do them under your tactics, within your game model, and within, you know, the output that each profile requires. So, you know, again, I don't want to make it sound like rocket science, but this is where the game is today.
Tab, listen, as always, thank you very much. I'm glad you're back out on the field. You're smiling a lot more, so I think being on the fields is good for you and probably the players as well. It's probably a great relief, and thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Being on the field is always good for the heart. Thank you for having me on.
All right, by the way, my plan is I'm going to get one of those cherry pickers, and I'm going to park it on the street, and I'm going to put it up over the field so I can watch you guys. We were laughing about that this morning. Yeah. You know, you couldn't throw me out if I did that.
Right.
Against the law, it's public space, the street. So, you know, if you see a cherry picker go up, don't get mad at me.
No problem. We don't have any secrets here.
No, I'm just kidding. just having fun with it. Have a great day, Tab. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye.
All right. Great fun there with Tab Ramos. Got a good insight into preseason. All brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on, looking forward to Major League Soccer kicking off in April. Houston Dynamo getting prepared to get back to preseason. These are all beautiful things as it's right around the corner. Show, as always, is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're bilingual. They're getting soccer on the radio, and they're giving us the ability to bring on and do interviews with top players in Major League Soccer, like my next guest, center forward for the Houston Dynamo. You can call him a number nine. You can call him Christian Ramirez. He joins us now. Christian, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you on, as always, and I'm certainly looking forward to this interview with you. Just tell me about your young kids now, because I know a lot's been going on in the Ramirez household.
Yeah, it's been a little hectic over the last year or so. Finally got settled in the new house that we bought in Houston. Finally got my 7-month-old to sleep through the night. So that's been perfect timing with season right around the corner. she had like some colicky issues, which made it tough for her to stay asleep for more than an hour and a half, 2 hours. So it was really taking a toll on my wife and I. But we luckily solved those and found the formula that works for her, and everything's been good.
Appreciate everything that's been going on with you guys and the challenges that you've had and how difficult it was getting through last season. Are you seeing the light now? April, we're starting to get the, you know, people are getting vaccinated. It seems like things are turning the corner. Are you guys feeling that as a group of players?
I think we see it a little bit. We're anxious, just like I'm sure everybody else is, to get stadiums back to the capacity that they were before. You start to feel that and see that light a little bit when you start to hear more stadiums starting to open at lower capacities. So it gives you a little bit of hope, and hopefully things stay on track and things can get back to what we used to call normal here sometime this year.
Christian Ramirez joining us, Dynamo striker. Let's talk about a lot of change. And there is a lot of change. And in professional locker rooms, when people see new guys coming in, it can be motivating. It can be, hey, where's my status in the pecking order? All these different things go through the mind of a professional soccer player. I think sometimes people forget that when there is turnover like this and the amount of change that's going on with this roster. Can you address that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exciting. We knew what was based on the year that we had last year. You know that things are coming, that changes are coming. So you just keep your eyes focused on what your role is on the team and how you can make yourself better to help the group get better. And I think that's what everybody took into this offseason. And the guys that came back with the pieces that the coaching staff and the technical staff have brought in, I think meshes really well. And I think it'll be a bit different of a culture around the team. And guys like Tim Parker bring such a presence and experience within the league from his time at Red Bulls and in Vancouver. He's been successful. So you got guys like Fafa that I go back to the NASL days. I actually had a golden boot race with him my first year in the NASL. So we go back to those days, and he's brought a winning mentality from his time in Dallas and his time in Philly. So it's been some good changes.
All right, so look at the stockpile of all these wide guys now. Tyler Pascher, Fafa, who you just mentioned, Ari Lassiter, Nico Hansen, and I know I'm missing a couple people, but there's just a lot of wide men on this team right now. Now, for you, that's got to be a pretty good thing, knowing that you're going to get some penetration out there. Would you say Fafa is that vertical guy now to maybe replace an Albert Elise? I forgot Mateo Bahamich as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tab can go any direction really with it. You got guys like you said, Fafa, Mateo, you got Tyler, you got Ari who played inverted last year. So we'll see if Tab plays him as an inverted again, or if he plays him at his natural left foot out wide so he can get more crosses in. And, so he's got options. He's also got Uruti can play out wide if need be. I can play underneath. He can play up top. He can play underneath. I can put, so he's got options. That's for sure. And I'm sure he's licking his lips knowing that he's got different personnel that he can pick and change things based on how things are going.
So if this is going to be a 4-3-3 pressing system, which is ideally, I think, what Tab is looking to do, and I'm not taking anything, I'm not trying to be coach here, but boy, when you look at this roster, there's going to be competition for playing time. And we all know that, look, a first 11 is a first 11, and you got to go 20 deep every year in MLS. We know that. But that being said, guys like you that are professionals, you want to be on the field all the time. There's going to be competition. And I think some people that maybe were incumbents last year, you know, had pretty safe bets that they're going to be in a starting lineup. That can be maybe challenged a bit.
No, for sure. And I think it bodes well for the team. It bodes well for good training sessions leading up to each game. And so that's a luxury to have. Not many teams can say, like, hey, 1 through 20, we're deep, and anyone can be plugged in and take the starting spot for 5, 6, 10 games of the year. So that's something that you have to work at week in, week out, and take it as a pro and continue to battle for that playing time.
All right. The pressing system as a center forward. You know, I look at you as more a traditional nine, good hold-up guy, good finisher, a lot of good qualities. In a pressing system, how does that change for you personally?
For me, it doesn't. I mean, when I went to L.A. From Minnesota, everybody knows how high of a press Bob's system is. And I think in my year and a half there, in the games that I started, I think we lost two games. And I was the front pressing with Vela and with Rossi. And I overpressed to an extent where I exerted myself so that guys like Vela and Rossi knew, like, hey, I have that freedom. Christian will cover me if need be. Led the front line on both away and at home. And that's something that I've sort of brought on. Last year, the six games that I started after the bubble, I felt like before the bubble or even in the bubble, we were pressing initially and then we'd drop off too deep. So when I got those six starts, when Mauro went down with an injury, I told guys, look, let's stay a little bit higher. Let's get our team compact. And it started boding well for us. And I think Tab's style of pressing, it doesn't mean necessarily you run like a maniac everywhere. It's really led off of certain cues and at the start of certain actions that the opposition presents. So once you get those down, it really saves you a lot of running. And it starts to wear down the team that you're playing against every time that they seem to feel us all over them. So it's something that I've grown into my game. And I think as soccer has evolved, this has become more of a necessity, of something that is you need to have. You need to have this engine. You need to be able to cover this ground because the game is asking you to do it. So it's something that I definitely have been working on the last 2-3 years.
So you as a center forward in this system, I mean, boy, you have to be incredibly alert. I was watching Bayern Munich the other day employ their press, and, you know, part of the very simple analysis of it is you want to win the ball close to an opponent's goal so it leads to immediate chances. It's not any secret, right? But I watched how quickly the brain of Robert Lewandowski turns on the second that ball is recovered again, you know, in the repress. And he's quickly trying to make an angle so he can receive a pass and score a goal. I mean, you're thinking, really, there's no taking any breaks anymore, I guess is what I'm trying to say for a number nine in the modern game. No mental breaks.
Yeah, no. And once the ball leaves, if I just pressed my guy and it left that guy, now I'm in control of, if it comes back to him, I have to win that. If it doesn't, I need to be in a position where if I can angle myself a certain way, if the next guy wins it, the next pass is to me to have a shot on goal.
Christian Ramirez joining us here. How difficult was it last year with the knowledge that, you know, Albert was moving on and Mauro was moving on? I would have to think from the outside that has to be a bit of a distraction because it's guys that certainly are looking and are likely going to get a move somewhere.
Yeah, I think the Albert one was a little bit longer coming, took more time. And being that it was in the middle of the season when the team was starting to find its groove, it sort of does take a toll on the team because at that point, Albert was dealing with a couple nagging injuries and so was coming off the bench at times and sometimes starting. But when he did come off the bench, he came and rescued a game here at home versus I think it was Kansas and Minnesota. Yeah. So those were valuable 6 points at the time, and we thought we were starting to click. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and it was next man up, and we didn't fully recover from that. I think we didn't adjust as a team, knowing that we didn't have Albert as that escape, basically, where you know, hey, I close my eyes and I put it in the far right-hand corner, and Albert's going to beat the guy 9 out of 10 times. So we didn't fully adjust, and now this year we know what's happening. We know who we have and who's here, so we have to come on the same page right away. And I think the Mauro one surprised all of us. Me, myself, personally, I didn't know anything was happening. I didn't even know if I was going to be back because at the end of the day, when you have the season that we had as a team last year, anybody's expendable. And you have to be a professional and understand that. So I just controlled what I could, and I'm back and I'm fit. I'm ready to go, and I'm excited for this chance and this opportunity with this team again.
Christian Ramirez joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters. I like how upfront you are there. You know, we don't get in the playoffs. Everybody's expendable. This is the fine line of a professional soccer player's career. You've had the highs. You've had the lows. You've scored important goals. You've had, you know, all the things that come along with a professional playing career. So how much does it hurt when you don't make the playoffs last year in a league that really is pretty forgiving when it comes to making the playoffs? And I get COVID was there and all that, but everybody had COVID. How painful is it?
It sucks. It was always like we were right there. Like we're like, oh, we win this game this weekend and we have something. Like, and we're right on the cusp of being on that last playoff spot. I think there was a stretch where we were in like fifth or something, and we were like, okay, a couple more results and the math works out. Like we're looking good. And it just seemed to be those last, 12 games, we just couldn't get a bounce to go our way. And when we thought it was going to go our way, it ended up bouncing the other way and somehow would lose a game that we had in the bag. And it sucks. You try and tell the fans, like, look, I'm sorry. Like, I want it just as bad as you guys. And that's why at the end of the last game last year, I went into the crowd. I gave somebody, a young kid, a part of my shin guards and something else, because you see that they care, especially those that were there in the stadium when the limited capacity, they're coming to get an escape from this pandemic, and we're trying to put on a show for them, and we couldn't give them that joy. So hopefully we repay them this year.
Christian Ramirez joining us. All right, look, if we look at the roster from the outside, most people are going to say, okay, the center forward position, it's either going to be Christian Ramirez, if it's one or the other, or Maxi Arruti, two very different guys. One guy plays the game like you, maybe a little different as a hold-up player. Arruti may be a little bit more mobile, a little bit different. Both of you can play in pressing systems. I mean, at the end of the day, he's a new guy here, but you're competing for playing time with him. You're competing to be the man as the center forward.
For sure. That was my plan coming in every year. This year, new number on my back, feel good. I mean, the team is a whole new team. So I think not just the forward position, but there's a lot of positions that are up for grabs. And it's funny. It's like every 3 years, there's a cycle on certain teams where the last 3 years sort of gets phased out and then it's a new fresh cycle. And it almost feels like that here with such a big turnover of new faces. And I think you feel that excitement both from the crowd, both on the buzz on the social media and the guys in itself. So it's an exciting time, and I'm just ready to, like you said, get to work and win the starting spot.
So you've had some informal workouts, I've heard. I'm hearing there's been a real good turnout at those. Any light you can shed on those?
They've been competitive, that's for sure.
That's good.
it's been surprising. It's those turnouts, they're hit or miss wherever you go. I mean, any other year, it'd be a for sure turnout and guys to get loose. But being this year that the offseason was so long and being that it's COVID, you have to, like, be on the testing cadence to be able to be out there. And some guys initially had some hesitant, but then, I don't know, it started to get competitive. It started to get, like, a lot of numbers and, it surprised me to see so many people out there, and it's exciting to see that everybody's itching to get out on the field.
State of Texas now, Christian, three professional soccer teams. You got a number of USL teams as well. I mean, there's a lot brewing in this state when it comes to professional soccer and opportunity. Are you sick and tired of hearing about Austin FC? Is this getting obnoxious? I mean, are you guys getting fired up about that? I mean, are you tired of it? They haven't even kicked a ball up there.
I haven't even been to Austin, so I don't.
You don't know it exists?
No, not yet. So yeah, I mean, I know the coaches there, obviously Wolf and Davey from my short time here when he was here. So it'll be good to be able to play them. Hopefully, we get to see them in preseason first to get a feel for them. Maybe start something, get a little rivalry going. That's always how a rivalry starts. I feel it's in preseason is when these rivalries start to get a little heated. I know that my first time with Minnesota, our I really felt a rivalry like building with Sporting Kansas City when there was we were playing in Arizona and there was like the game ended in a brawl. So I don't think it'll get to that point, but it just started to show that there was something between the two franchises that like they didn't really like each other or something, and maybe we build something there.
Yeah, and I'm stoking the fires here a little bit, but I do think it's intriguing because of the closeness of the cities and the ability for fans to travel.
Upward.
I mean, you guys must be loving this. This is a great addition to the landscape in MLS. They're going for it, and it's raising the bar. And you know what? We're going to be sitting here on a Friday going, tomorrow night, the Dynamo are playing in Austin. Let's go invade Austin and vice versa for them. I think it can only be healthy.
Yeah. The best is being on the road with your crowd in one section, and you feel them. That's something special when you're out there on the field and you see that.
Last thing before we go. How quick does this need to gel? I know MLS is forgiving, but how quick do you think this has to gel going into 2021? Because, you know, every year it's very redundant to the Dynamo fan, and you've only been here a shorter amount of time, but it's a little bit redundant when it comes to every year fighting to get that last playoff spot. I think fans here want to see the Dynamo be at the top three in the table, get into the playoffs comfortably, not have to go through this, you know, straddling of the fence at the end of the year, hoping to get, you know, 6 points in your final whatever games or something to get in the playoffs. How quick do you want this to gel? And do you want to, I mean, are we trying to win the division?
Oh, for sure. That should be the goal for us as a team. And I think if we get off on the right foot and start to focus on that first preseason game, when we get that first preseason schedule, I think we should start taking those as the steps to go forward. Doesn't have to be, okay, these are the 11 that are starting the first preseason game, that's what's ending the year. But just that mindset of we have to win. We're winning our games and trying to win every game that we can, whether it's in the league or it's in the Open Cup, anything that's for us to win, we should be looking to build that winning culture again, which I think is something that the Dynamo have had. And when the Dynamo have been special, that's been a part of the culture, is trying to win anything and everything that is in the road.
Christian, when I talk about Tab Ramos, I think he's been a bright shining light for the franchise from the standpoint of, you can really see him in the way that he says things, that he's trying to change the culture. And he's even trying to change it off the field and what it kind of looks like to people off the field. Do you guys sense that? Do you guys sense it's bigger than just playing games now? Yeah, it's about winning. That's the primary focus, being a great team. But it's also about really trying to, expand the reach of this team to the fan base in such a great soccer city.
For sure. And I think guys have started to make that change and that transition. I know myself, Memo, and Zarek have made it a point since we've been talking this offseason to connect more with the community. And I think you saw it with the winter storm that just happened. It all started with a text between myself, Zarek, and Memo, trying to see what we could do. And I think we raised like $30,000, and then fans started getting in, and then we created a t-shirt, and like we're trying to figure out ways, especially with COVID right now, it sort of separates you from the community, and trying to figure out a way that we can safely still go back to being able to connect with the fans, with the community, and bring it all together as one. Because I think it's such a special bond when you're able to do that. And it just only helps build a culture within the city. And this city being so diverse, I think if we're able to pick at those different pockets of the city, it could be something really special.
Christian, just put the information about the storm relief. You guys have done a great job getting it out there and making people aware of it. And I think you've raised close to $40,000, right?
Yeah, it's special. I think next week it's already been capped. And then I think next week we're going to take a picture and show that the money's actually being donated with the foundations that it was donated to, and along with the Dash players, who have done a tremendous job to spread the word, as well as their league and different teams. So it was something that we felt we needed to do and use our platform to do that. And I know the Dash girls as well wanted to do something, and The more we can collab with them and bring the both fan bases together and unite them as one, I think it only makes soccer in Houston stronger. So I know myself personally, having the two little ones, I'm hopeful to be able to catch some Dash games this year and take them out there and support them as we hope that they support us as well.
Well, listen, thanks for your community service. Best of luck in preseason, getting ready for a big year here, and looking forward to seeing you banging in some goals. Christian, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Will do. Thank you for having me.
All right, that's Christian Ramirez. We'll get him again as the season begins in April. Dynamo getting into preseason. Advantage BMW, quick word here for them before we go to break. I've driven one for years. I got an X5. So I drove it all the way to New Jersey during COVID to see my elderly parents. And it was unbelievable. It was just a great drive. It was, I thought I was like riding in first class. But Advantage BMW Midtown is the place you get the cars. You get a 3, 5, 7 series. You can get in an X5. Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there, see Steven. Go down there and see Justin. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters.
That does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Just a reminder, you get the podcast of the show at Spotify, iTunes, podcastarena.com. Monday's show in Austin on the Horn. You go over to hornfm.com. You can get it there as well. Hit me up on Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. For Tyler, appreciate all his work producing tonight. And all you who listened in, on behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.